Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, this morning, the Supreme Court ruled by a majority of 4-3 that ratification of the CETA trade deal by Ireland would be unconstitutional. The CETA trade deal is between the EU and Canada and has been provisionally operational since 2017. The laws that prevent Ireland from being able to ratify this treaty now, according to the Supreme Court today, relate to an investors' court system and the jurisdiction of Irish law over that system. On today's News at 1 on RT Radio 1, Fine Gael TD and Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine, Martin Hayden, was asked by Brian Dobson if a referendum would now be necessary. Here's what he had to say.
The government remains committed to ratifying the CETA agreement because it's really good for the Irish economy, it's really good for Irish business, and it's really good for our citizens because we are a small open economy that depends on trade. So while ratification is not now immediately possible, it does appear from the judgment announcement that the Supreme Court has given a pathway that would not involve a referendum to ratify this. And we'll consider all those options in the coming weeks and days.
Well, the Supreme Court challenge was taken by Green Party TD Patrick Costello, who joins us now on the line. And you're very welcome, Patrick, to the programme this afternoon. You heard Martin Hayden there echoing what we've heard from very many other government ministers over the last 2 years or so, that the CETA trade deal is good for the Irish economy and good for citizens. Do you think it's not, or can you outline what your concerns were?
Well, can I just start? Thanks for having me on. Can I just start by saying, look, this is a very comprehensive judgment we received today. And I just want to start by thanking the court, all seven judges, and indeed Judge Butler in the High Court as well, for their dedication and professionalism during this whole process. I think the CETA agreement is a mixed agreement. It has trade elements and it has this investor court element. The trade elements are hugely beneficial. It is very positive that we open up trade for our small open economy. But those trade elements are already in place and we're already benefiting from them. And them I'm not concerned about. What I'm concerned about is the investor court element that's here. And that's where my challenge focuses. The investor court element will essentially remove things that should be in the jurisdiction of the Irish court and move them to another court without any oversight, without any sort of democratic control, without any accountability. And that's a huge problem. And the court today said that that is a problem and that ratification as proposed is not constitutional for those very reasons.
So just to give people examples of what you might be talking about there, I know you've cited some examples of, for example, the Dutch government being sued for billions through the investor court for trying to move away from burning fossil fuels.
And the Italian government has been sued for these as well.
Okay, so just to get it clear for listeners, because I think some people are very familiar with this whole issue and they really understand it and feel very strongly about it, and other people don't and don't quite understand it. So the idea is that if the Irish government, for example, wanted to introduce a ban on fossil fuels in Ireland or a ban on something else environmental, like, I don't know, gas or something like that, if that was to go against the corporate interests of some companies, they could sue Ireland in these investor courts. Am I summarising that correctly?
Yes, but it's not just environmental things. Introducing workers' rights, introducing rent controls, for example, could also be dragged in front of these investor courts if it is a large Canadian company who now is limited in the rents they can charge in, say, a build-to-rent investment here, because of the rent controls. So it's not just environmental, it's a huge range of progressive policy choices that the government will either be limited in making, or if they make them, will face potentially billions in fines.
So the government is saying today, as you heard from Martin Hayden there, that they don't believe this will require a referendum to get this ratified, but rather maybe a change in the domestic legislation. Firstly, do you agree with that?
Well, I think this is a really interesting judgment. So the court, while acknowledging that CETA could not be ratified by a dual vote in its current form, suggests that these legislative amendments could fix that unconstitutionality. But like, there are seven judgments here. There are seven judgments, one from each judge, running to over 500 pages. They are dense and they are complex. Any amendment that is going to be a very complicated legal thing, because it will affect our own domestic legislation, our own constitution. It'll also affect international agreements we already have in place. And there may be huge unintended consequences from any little amendment we make. So I think it's not necessarily a simple, straightforward thing we would normally associate with making a quick amendment and fixing a problem with legislation. This is a very complicated thing, and I think it's going to take months for people to really think through the consequences of these judgments.
Okay, so you're not saying you don't think it can be done through legislation, but you're not sure it can.
Well, I think the courts have said that it can, but it's a very deeply complex thing. It's not necessarily a simple yes or no. And while you can fix one aspect with an amendment, there may be consequences then for other aspects of the Constitution, or the amendment that you need to make to fix it may be impossible under the terms of other agreements we are in. So it's not going to be straightforward. It is, as I say, this is a deeply complex matter. We've 7 complex, weighty judgments here to try and sift through. And then the reality of a whole host of other agreements. It is, unfortunately, a very technical thing, a very legal thing. But I think that's what reflects that this is not going to be an easy road. And I think what we should really be doing at this stage is asking, do we actually want to be part of investor courts? We've seen the Energy Charter Treaty, a lot of countries trying to leave it or challenge it because of the consequences that it's had. The new Australian government has introduced a unit within the Department of Foreign Affairs there to remove Australia from any investor court systems they're a part of. And I think we need to really sit and look and say, do we want to be part of an investor court? Yes, we get huge benefits from trade, but if those come at a greater cost than we benefit from in terms of inability to regulate in terms of workers' rights or inability to regulate in terms of the environment, then, you know, there are questions that we need to be asking
ourselves. OK. And yet you know that the Green Party's coalition partners, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, and indeed I think some of your own Green Party colleagues, were all supportive of this being ratified by the Dáil. The Taoiseach, the Leo Varadkar, last year said that you taking this High Court case was, in his view, he was reported to have said this at a Fine Gael parliamentary party meeting. In his view, it was more serious than a coalition TD voting against the government, and that he said he'd raise the issue with the Green Party leader Eamon Ryan. Micheál Martin said the legal advice he had received was that the claims being made against CETA were not sustainable, that that very clear clarifications have been brought about by the European Court on this issue.
Well, first of all, I would say that there are lots of differing legal opinions in relation to this, and we can see even that there are differing legal opinions on the court. But the place that legal opinions become legal fact is in front of the court. And today we had a decision that said that it would be unconstitutional in its current form to ratify it. And I think that's the most fundamental thing. Secondly, I'd make the point that my complaint and my concern before the court was about the interaction between the investor courts and the Irish constitution. The question of the European legality is a different legal question. So there, while it may be in line with European Union law, that was not an element that was being questioned or challenged before the court.
I understand. And indeed, though, as I say, there was quite a lot of opposition in government to you taking this appeal. I note that Justice Hogan, who was one of the judges looking at this, said in his judgment today that the issues in this appeal go to the very heart of our constitutional architecture. And he said the present appeal may yet be regarded among the most important, which this court has been required to hear and determine in its almost 100-year history. Do you feel vindicated, Patrick, for taking this case? And what do you say to all those naysayers among your government colleagues who said you shouldn't?
Well, look, I think that the real takeaway from this is the benefit that we as citizens have from an informed, independent, dedicated judiciary. Citizens should have access to the courts at all levels. And we have seen now the importance of the checks and balances provided by the judiciary and the importance of an independent judiciary. And as I said at the top, like, I'm very grateful to the judges, even the judge in the High Court as well, throughout this entire process. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me.
I know you've said that we have to maybe ask ourselves the question as to whether we want investment courts and whether the trade is worth it to have the investment courts have that jurisdiction, I suppose, over potential decisions that the government might make. But if this isn't ratified, what sort of trade does Ireland stand to lose out on? And are you not concerned about that?
Well, there are many, many trade agreements that the European Union are part of that do not have investor courts built into them. Indeed, Canada, when it was renegotiating its free trade agreement with America and Mexico, expressly excluded investor courts. And investor courts have been removed from that free trade agreement. Free trade agreements, which are very beneficial, do not necessarily have to have investor court systems built into them. So I think we can benefit from trade and global trade going forward without needing the investor courts. And it's not, they don't come together, they can be separated and they should be separated.
From a straight up political perspective then, if this does eventually lead to a change in legislation that then has to go to a Dáil vote, what's your take on whether or not that would get passed in the Dáil? Where does the Green Party and your colleagues stand on this?
I think that's a huge hypothetical. I can't really answer that because I think this is a very complex area, and it's going to take a long time to get to fully digest and understand these very complex judgments. It's going to take a long time to get the legislation following on from that. As I say, there may be consequences in terms of those amendments for the agreements themselves. So I think it'll be a long time before any amendments really see the light of day. And I think we need to focus on, you know, debating those out fully. So I think I can't really comment on that because there's too many legal technicalities and hypotheticals there. And as I say, it's
Sorry, Patrick, sorry. Just finally then, I know the Green Party didn't support you in this action that you were taking. You were taking it in a personal capacity. Did you speak to the Green Party leader, Eamon Ryan, this morning? Or have you heard from him at all?
No, I haven't had a chance to at all yet. I've been busy in the wake of the judgment and I know that he's busy as well. So we just haven't had a chance to catch up.
Okay, and would you like to see your party support you at this point in any changes that are made or not made, given that, as I say, your concerns have been vindicated in the Supreme Court?
Well, I think the party will be supportive of the ultimate aim, which is to ensure that we are free as a government to take the climate action we so desperately need to take. And I think, you know, that's what our cabinet ministers are working towards as well.
All right. Patrick Costello, thank you very much for joining us in all of that this evening. And do stay with us because we're a lot of talk about business and trade and how it's going to affect us here. Ireland's business community will respond to the CETA ruling because we're going to speak to Pat Ivory from the IBEC next.
Now, as we've been discussing, the Supreme Court ruled today by a majority of 4-3 that ratification of the Canada-EU trade deal by Ireland would be unconstitutional. This is a huge judgment watched on both sides of the Atlantic and right across the European Union. Business reaction, a big element of all of this. Pat Ivory is Director of EU and International Affairs at IBEC, is with me now. Pat, you're very welcome to the programme. What's your reaction to the ruling then?
The ruling is clear in the 4-3 judgment that the CETA cannot be ratified under the current Irish law. But I think it's very encouraging to see that the Supreme Court, in making that ruling, also issued a very clear opinion, 6-1, that the government can make changes to domestic Irish law to enable the ratification of the agreement. So our view would be that the government should rapidly address the necessary amendments to Irish law to enable ratification of this key economic trade agreement, which with Canada, who is an important and trusted business partner.
I wonder, is that advisable, though? Because you heard Patrick Costello's chat with Sarah there. He said any amendment is complicated. It's not a quick thing, he said. It's a deeply complex thing.
Well, all legal agreements, comprehensive economic and trade agreements, are complex legal documents. So it's not unusual that an agreement would have a complex legal aspect to it.
Well,
it takes a number of years to negotiate.
Let me put that to you. He drew a distinction there between a run-of-the-mill, let's say, legislative amendment and this, he said, which would have a legislative aspect, a constitutional aspect, would also amend some international agreements as well, possibly, and may have some unforeseen consequences. So I wonder, is the best course of action not a referendum? Belt and braces, put it to the people and let everyone, even the business community, tease out all of the elements here and let them understand it.
Well, I think the Supreme Court in issuing its opinion 6-1 about amending domestic law would indicate that a referendum is not needed. I mean,
well, sorry, you haven't read the ruling, have you?
Pardon?
You haven't read the ruling.
No, I haven't read.
No,
the,
nor
read,
have
read
I. So we have to wait if they actually did say that. What they said was a legislative amendment is possible.
Yes, and that was given as a 6-1 in the Supreme Court, which is fairly large majority. I mean, if you look at the purpose of CETA is to help bind the economies of the EU and Canada closer together. Mm-hmm. It creates real opportunities for companies on both sides of the Atlantic. It provides a much needed market diversification option for companies, which is critically important as our businesses face an ongoing challenge as presented by an international economy which is in a place of significant challenge due to high interest rates, high rates of inflation, accelerated monetary tightening and volatile energy
markets. And nobody disagrees,
so this is a key agreement.
Yeah, nobody disagrees, I think, with the trade element of the agreement. I think what Patrick Costello in particular had a problem with is the investor court. And he says you can remove that element of this deal. I wonder, would you be in favour of that, to plough ahead with the trade element, but without the investor court?
Well, the trade elements are already provisionally applied and have been since 2017, but the agreement does require ratification. Now, the agreement has an investment element of it, and Canada is a major investor in Ireland in very significant areas of the Irish economy. Ireland are also significant investors in Canada. Investment and trade tend to be linked and follow each other. I think if the court's advice that there would be the necessary amendments to Irish law to enable ratification, and if they can be pursued and made by the government, then I think the court has clearly indicated that ratification is possible.
It's not within the court's remit to decide policy on this. So the Irish government could put forward the case that they want out of the investor court. They could bring it to EU level or reopen negotiation or whatever the protocol may be. Look, we have a view from an Irish referendum that maybe this should go ahead without the investor court, that there are deep concerns. Now, I wonder, is that a course of action that should be considered?
I think the agreement includes greater rights for EU citizens to work and live in Canada, and the same for Canadian citizens to work and live here. It's a broad opportunity for professionals, even lawyers and engineers can practice in Canada in greater ease with this agreement. So there's huge benefits to this agreement. So I don't think it's wise really to talk about reopening negotiations
benefits
on the agreement.
For who?
I don't think that is actually should be on the cards at all.
Benefits for who?
Benefits for both Irish and Canadian citizens.
Citizens.
And
but let me ask you this, because Patrick Costello made the point that this could be, this could allow a Canadian investment fund or company or investor sue the Irish state if the Irish state puts forward policies that diminishes its investment, for example, or impugns its investment in some way, and that he says it could impact workers' rights. It could impact rental controls. It could impact environmental measures. Are you in favour of that?
I think this is a complex legal agreement. And I think, as you've said yourself, Mark, it is something that has to be worked through the Irish legal system. And the Supreme Court has indicated that those amendments can be made to to arbitration laws within the Irish system, and that those necessary conditions can be created to enable ratification of the agreement. So I'm not claiming to be an expert on that. I would take the majority decision of the Supreme Court to say that this is something that the Irish government should pursue and actively look at.
Yeah, they're saying what is possible from an Irish government's point of view. I just wonder, if you're not an expert, and if Irish business up and down the country isn't an expert on the consequences of this for the Irish economy, I wonder, should we, in a campaign, in a referendum, tease it out a little bit more? I suppose that's the only question I have. But you say no. Look, we'll wait and see the fine detail of the ruling, the judgment. Pat Ivory, Director of EU and International Affairs at IBEC, thank you very much indeed for that.